Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the GITM podcast. This is the first episode, and I present to you a review of Aono Exorcist. Firstly, as this is the first episode, I just wanted to bring you a bit about the podcast. So, the name being a reference to Neon Genesis Evangelion is one of my favorite anime, and I wanted to present to you a forum where I pretty much just rant about anime and comic books and why I like or maybe not like these pieces. So I'm pretty much on a mission to find out what is maybe good or not so good and why that is the case. But without further ado, here is the first episode of the GITM podcast, a review of Aono Exorcist. I'm going to start this episode with a slight story, really just navigating the context of A1 Pictures and the Shonen Battle anime market at this time. So it's the year 2011, and I don't know what you were doing. Maybe you were watching Naruto, you were playing Steins Gate, or waiting for the Steins Gate anime, or maybe even waiting for Hunter x Hunter. I'm not too sure as to what you were doing then. However, the Shonen Battle anime market was booming at this time. You had loads of anime that had either already finished or were preparing to come out, one of them being Hunter x Hunter, which I previously spoke about, and you have other anime such as Naruto Shippuden and Bleach, which were either reaching their final arcs or were in full swing. One Piece, to say the same, and Naruto Shippuden, as I previously said before. So the Shonen Battle anime market was large, and A1 wanted to get their foot in the door for a new Shonen Battle anime, and they decide to adapt Aono Exorcist. Aono Exorcist is very well known as being in the Shonen Battle genre, and is a very popular manga in both Japan and here in the West. So to adapt that is a very big move from A1 Pictures, and by its success, we can tell that it went decently well. But now I want to move on to the actual review. So before that, I just want to give a quick disclaimer for my possible bias, as this is one of my favorite A1 anime, in fact. So I don't want to make it seem as if I'm being biased towards it to the full extent. However, I may be slightly biased, as I do enjoy this anime, and I'll give you my honest review of it. And also, I will be skirting around spoilers, so I won't really touch on anything too spoilery. So do not worry for that, and I will be calling spoiler warnings in future episodes, just so you are aware. So before I start formally reviewing, I think it's essential that I give you a plot summary, so if you haven't watched this, you sort of understand what's going on. And if you have seen it, maybe just to give you a recap, maybe you watched it a long time ago. So the story follows Rin Okumura being the son of Satan, and he finds that out from his human father and is given the sword, the Kurikara, and is also sent off to the True Cross Academy Cram School to become an exorcist and eventually defeat his counterpart father, being Satan. He is a twin brother of Yukio Okumura, and those two, as well as the supporting cast, go out of their way to learn exorcism. Loads of twists and turns on the way, and it is their goal to eventually defeat Satan in a future season, possibly. This is the first season out of two seasons, and we are approaching this goal being defeat Satan and get past the obstacles that lie in their way. As for the supporting cast, there are a group of students beside the Okumura brothers helping them along their way in some way or another, sometimes competing against them to some extent. We have members of the True Cross who are also exorcists, and some of them have their own ulterior motives, and the plot thickens, I guess, from there. I don't want to go too into that, but it definitely is an interesting story, as we get a lot of different characters who want different things, who might be members of the True Cross, and those, of course, outside of the True Cross who are enemies. The source material being the manga was written by Kato Kazue, who also is behind the art and the story. The manga is also currently incomplete or hasn't been finished yet, And the same applies to the anime. I am reviewing the first season in this episode. However, I may review the second season in another future episode. And along the lines of speaking about Katokaze, the one behind the art, I am actually going to talk about the art style right now. And I have a lot of good things to say about the art style. One thing I really love about what they did about Ao no Exodus in terms of the anime format is that they transferred the manga into the anime when it came to art. And I really feel like Katokaze's work just shone right through it because it looks pretty much the same, and I would expect that that's what someone would want from an anime that is an adaptation of a manga. So Katokaze's work is directly in there, and its identity isn't to be misunderstood because it's right there for you to take in. A1 Pictures really considered the creator behind this and didn't just distort the art style completely and make it something that's their own, but made it something that was more along the lines of the manga. And when I read the manga, I feel like I'm almost watching the anime. As a manga reader, I associate the anime quite closely now with its manga counterpart because they are so similar. I think when you consider the philosophy of adaptation being to partially make something new but retain the fundamentals of what it previously was, A1 Pictures really takes that into account and makes something that is a lot brighter and a lot more action-packed because of its animated format, but still maintains the art style and sort of the gentleness of Katokaze's art style. So before diving into narrative analysis, I'm now going to discuss something that I really want to talk about, and that is what I call the shonen model. It's nothing too official, but it's something that I devised which pretty much summarizes the events and outline of most shonen battle anime. And it is not 100% accurate, it's more of a best fit model, but if you shell it out, it's quite accurate as to how Ao no Exodus performs and where it goes about in terms of narrative structure and how the linear pattern is really portrayed and how that works when you apply it to the actual anime and events within the anime. So the shonen model pretty much goes along two things. It goes along the fact that there is an ignition or recognition of power, and the fact that there is a larger end goal. And that end goal is a long-term thing. It's not something that happens overnight and usually involves struggle or pain. And now I put that into the context of Ao no Exodus, the beginning being obtaining the Kurikara, obtaining the ability to see demons, which he already had, but you see that for other characters with the soul wound, which I won't go too much into. And then you have the end goal being defeat Satan. And overall, I kind of like this model. It illustrates progress. And I like that setup with Ao no Exodus. We know that it's going somewhere. We know where we're traveling to. Okay, it may take a few seasons to get there, but this season is a good way of starting that journey to get to that end goal and defeat Satan. We have sort of begun in obtaining those fundamentals. We have met friends being the supporting cast. We have met enemies and are able to discover the true personality and motives of some of these quote-unquote enemies, and some of which claim that they are friends but may not be friends. And I like how we are getting this sort of layout of a linear pattern being the anime itself from its first season, because it illustrates progress. And as a person that watches anime quite a lot, I like progress. I like to know that I'm getting my money's worth out of 25 episodes, and I think Ao no Exodus is really good at displaying that right off the bat. And with the shonen model, one thing we have to assume is that there are twists and turns along the way. There is no hero's story or hero's tale that doesn't involve pain or struggle or setbacks. And Ao no Exodus is really good at portraying that. There are setbacks. The first episode is literally a setback, and we have to work upwards from that, because once you're already kicked down to the bottom, how low can you go? And Rin is a really good example of that. He's had a tough life and things will get tougher. And we just have to go up in this linear narrative. And that is what's really good about that. It sets you up to make you move forward. And the narrative can only go forward from here. I don't feel like it slows down to any extent. But what I would say about this anime is that when I go back to the context, which I discussed earlier in the episode, what I will say is that if you are a big fan of shonen battle anime, this might not appear as anything unique or life-changing to you because it follows the sort of rules and regulations of average shonen when you think of it. Aonomaxis was made to compete with other shonen battle anime at the time, which were doing very well. I think it competes when I think of it today, however back then, it would follow those rules being a standard shonen battle anime because it wanted to blend in. So I don't feel like there was much space to do anything that was crazy unique in this season, which is a shame because I think the second season is really good at breaking away from that standard shonen battle feel that we get from a lot of these anime. So it's a shame that although I do like it, it does feel a bit normal. I don't think it's going to surpass a shonen battle anime fan's expectations. That's what I should be saying. But for someone that doesn't watch too much shonen, I think you enjoy this one. I would definitely recommend you give it a try because it's quite an easy narrative to pick up. We're exercising demons on a daily basis and we attend school while doing it. That's pretty much the plot. And I really like that because it's short and simple and to the point. There isn't too much to explain after the first episode. You get the hang of it. It's a bit more episodic in its nature, although there is an overriding story that we get throughout, but it isn't overly story driven. So although there is progress which we get through defeating demons almost every episode, we do get a sense of progress in the way that Rin develops and people's attitudes towards him as they discover that he is the son of Satan. I actually want to talk about some positive things, and one of those is the voice acting. I think the voice acting is a very key component in anime, especially shonen battle anime, as the feelings of the characters are really important in driving the story and giving us greater immersion as to how they feel at that current time. And Aonomaxis is very good at showing us emotion. The main voice actor of this series being Nobuhiko Akamoto behind Rin is also the guy behind Bakugo from Boku no Hero Academia, which a lot of people would recognize, as well as Nikaido from Sangatsu no Leon, which many people would also know as March Comes In Like a Lion. I like the fact that it's quite enjoyable to see someone who plays shouty characters continue to play shouty and loud characters, Rin being very passionate about what he likes to do, and will shout over anyone if necessary, especially if they're talking loads of rubbish to him about being the son of Satan, for example. That high energy vibe is something that you really need as a main character in something like a shonen battle anime, because that is what motivates the supporting cast to in turn respect and support you as the main character or the person who wants to achieve their main goals. And having that energy is what causes members of the supporting cast, let's say Shimi, let's say Yukio, for example, to buy into that and buy into your dream because you are such an inspirational and aspirational person. Another character that stood out to me was Shimi, and the voice actor behind that being one of my favorite voice actors, being Kana Hanazawa, who voice acts Shimi, as I said, in this series, alongside Hina from Sangatsu no Leon. And a quick story about Sangatsu no Leon, I started this about, let's say, 2 months ago, as of when this is being recorded. And I love it. I really do. I'm on the second season right now, again, when this being recorded. And I love Hina, and I also love Shimi as characters. So I just like how I'm seeing that transfer between such characters, and their personalities are so similar, but it does feel different to some extent. Although they are both hobbyists and the way that they react to things are similar, you still don't feel like you're watching Hina, and you feel like Shimi's a completely new person being an exorcist as well is just another layer to that. And just to speak about layers, I think the exorcism layer is really good at adding extra depth to each character, because they will have their motivations as to why they want to be an exorcist and why they want to move forward into possibly defeating Satan with Rin or just doing things for their own good. But I feel like, again, going back to Shimi, that's where the differentiation is between her and Hina. Yes, they are both hobbyists, as I said previously, but the exorcism layer just adds so much more. So I feel like where Hina is a lot more relatable as to real life, I feel like Shimi is a lot more inspirational, as she is an exorcist and she is someone not in the real world, but someone conquering demons through her knowledge of plants and agriculture. But those are just two of the characters I wanted to speak about. Two of the voice actors, in fact, I wanted to speak about, because I think they really shone in this series. And Shimi and Rin are two very important and vital characters to this story. Maybe not in the first season, but definitely rolling on to the others. You definitely see that, and also in the manga as well. But I quickly want to go back to the shonen model. And what I would say about this is that what I do like about it is that the supporting cast almost act like a facilitating factor. And what I mean by that is that the supporting casts are very good at pushing forward that main character to where they need to be by the end of the anime. And I really like the message that comes out of that. We see this a lot in literal terms. If you talk about Fairy Tail, for example, with the quote-unquote power of friendship. And although a lot of people don't like how that's portrayed, I like how it's portrayed implicitly and not necessarily through literally saying it in Aono Exorcist, as well as a lot of other shonen battle anime. Take Naruto Shippuden, for example. The theme of having people around you was very powerful, and that was even used by the end of the series, literally. Take the example Boku no Hero Academia, for example, where they all collaborate in Class 1A to complete tasks. I think that the supporting cast in Aono Exorcist are really good at tapping into each other's strengths and weaknesses and working as a team collaboratively to reach their goals in defeating demons, for example, and uncovering mysteries behind the True Cross. Although my counter argument to this is the fact that the shonen model in reference to Aono Exorcist is somewhat rinsed out, as we see with loads of other anime. We have this classic I want to get from A to B theme in a lot of shonen battle anime, and that eventually becomes a bit repetitive, and Aono Exorcist might be guilty of doing that, but at the same time, we have to consider the context and the fact that this was made in 2011, when we didn't have things like Boku no Hero Academia, when Fairy Tail hadn't reached its final series or some of its other series, or even when Bleach hadn't finished, when we didn't have Boruto, when we didn't have Black Clover, when we didn't have loads of other anime. So it would be hard to compare it to all of those when this was a time when shonen battle was, I feel, just beginning, because we have so much more and so much more to come with so many new shonen announcements and shonen manga. Even if I take Samurai 8, for example, there are so many things that are emerging, so it wouldn't be fair to compare Aono Exorcist to loads of other anime which are around now, because this was something that was still new and emerging and upcoming, rather than something that was homogenized at this time. Moving on from the narrative, I want to get into something which is a bit more exciting, and that is the music and the openings. Most of the music reviewing segment which I'll be doing here is focused around the openings as opposed to the actual soundtrack. I am a fan of the soundtrack, just to make that clear. It's just there is a lot to talk about in these OPs that I want to get done this episode. So the first thing is, what are the OPs? There are two OPs for this season, being Core Pride by Uberworld, and that goes alongside In My World by Rookies Is Punked. I like both of these bands quite a lot, and they do a lot with the guitar as well as the drums to make really good pieces, and I'll explain why. So the first OP being Core Pride by Uberworld is sort of the signifier of an emergence of this new crazy world that Rin Okumura and the Okumura brothers live in. It's a really nice piece to welcome the audience, me included, into this new crazy world, and it's very dynamic. You get that through the fast-paced drums, the fast-paced guitar, and most importantly, because it's Uwe, the saxophone, which is now a famous trope of Uwe songs, being when they whip out the saxophone. We hear that also in the Boku no Hero Academia opening by Uwe. It's part of their identity now, and it sounds really great that you get this really welcoming saxophone into this new world. Okay, it is Earth, but it Rin's reality is so different to ours that it feels almost like a new world. And the second thing about this OP that I really like is when the song opens up towards the first minute where it slows down, that is quite representative of the pain and the struggle which we'll go through in this season. And even in this first part, even in the first episode, it begins with pain. I spoke about that before, that this anime begins with a setback. And it's nice to see the OP complement that and illustrate that in its one video, and secondly, its music. This opening is really good at telling us that we need to keep striving for success. We need to keep going. I know that sounds very philosophical considering this is an anime series, but I think the OPs are very valuable. And you have to remember that this is a song as well. And through the video, we get a lot showing us that we have to keep going and get up and keep going forward. We need to keep moving forward if we want to reach that end goal. And we see Yukio helping out Rin at this part of the OP, and it really touches me because it shows us that we shouldn't give up and we have to keep running forward. And Rin does exactly that because he is driven to reach that end goal of changing the world and obviously defeating Satan, which I've said 100 times. But overall, Uwe World is really good at making me feel welcome when it comes to this anime. It's a great way to start off an anime because you don't know what's coming up, and this gives you a nice taste of that. Although it's not fully revealing, that would give away the whole game, but it is really nice at giving you a sense of, it is really good at giving you a taste of this part of the season, and we get the idea that it's going to be dynamic, it's going to be a wild ride, and there will be struggle, there will be pain, but we get over it, and we keep striving forward if we want to achieve our goals and ambitions. But on the other hand, we get quite a lot more contrast when we talk about the second opening, being Rookies is Punked in My World. And this one's very different because although they do have similar messages, I think that the second OP is a lot darker. And that is again representative of the darker part of this season, especially by its conclusion. And to some extent, we start to understand Rin and the Okamura brothers and even members of the supporting cast a lot more by the drums and guitar and sadly the absence of the saxophone, as this is not done by Uwe World. You can tell that this opening is a lot more anger-fueled and it's a lot more sad, if you wish to call it that. It doesn't necessarily depend on making you feel welcome as you were previously welcomed by the other opening, but wants to make you feel more attached to these characters and make you really wonder why is this OP doing this. It's more of a question than an answer, if that makes sense. It doesn't tell you why this is going to be a sad part of the season, but that's for you to figure out by watching the show, and I think the OP is really good at doing that. It raises questions as to what is going to happen by the end of this season and make you question why you want to watch the second season, and I think that proves it very well. This OP is a lot darker than the first. I'll just give you a quote from that, being one of the main lines, "Goodbye, precious life." We can tell that by this, things are going to get deeper and there is going to be sacrifice, there is going to be pain from all the characters, and things aren't necessarily going to go as expected. It's not going to be a happy ending necessarily. No one said it'll be a sad one, but this isn't going to be smooth as one would want it to go. My favorite part of the OP has to be the part where it slows down around 40 seconds. And I like how the vocals are focused on a lot more there. It feels more personal. It feels a lot deeper. And I can tell that they're being sincere And that just shows the delicacy of this section of the season. And again, I've said this about hundreds of times, but it's going to be painful. And I feel that with this sort of mixture of emotions through the song being the slow and fast tempo. So that makes me rather conflicted, and that is its goal. It's meant to make me feel conflicted as to how are the events in the season going to turn out. And this anime opening making me feel rather confused, or maybe confused isn't the word, but it makes me feel sort of on edge. And I think the OP is very successful in that sense. The thing is, it's a shame that I can't talk about the second season review, because I love that opening. That is one of my top 10, minimum top 10 openings of all time, because it's so representative and so symbolic, similarly to these second ones. So I definitely have to talk about in the next Aonoxis episode when I talk about the second season, and maybe another time when I talk about the manga, although that won't involve OPs, but I love that OP, I have to say. And even with that being said, 2019's been great for anime OPs. I don't want to stray away too much from Aonoxis, but we've seen great OPs. But these OPs are still one of my favorites of all time. Yes, we've seen a lot of great OPs come from this year in anime, particularly Winter 2019 with the Rising of the Shield Hero opening, The Promised Neverland, and Dororo. However, I still think that there are some great OPs that will always be classics, and Aonoxis is a definite example of a classic OP that we won't forget about in the anime community. It may be around for a long time. This anime OP has been around for the good amount of 7 years, and people still listen to it, and I still listen to it. It's definitely a classic to remember. But with all of this being said, I must come to a final verdict as to how I feel about this anime, and overall I have to say that I like it. It's not my favorite of all time, but I definitely have a lot of memories with this anime. This was my second major anime after watching Naruto Shippuden, which I also thoroughly enjoyed, and Aonoxis was a good way of easing off all that stuff that happened in Naruto Shippuden into a nice 25 episode package. And I do like that. I'm into a shorter sectional narrative, considering this is only one arc in one section of the season. It's not an entire franchise within one season. And I do like that. It keeps things nice and succinct. Things aren't wasted. I don't feel like there were episodes that were wasted. They did that in the OVAs instead, which I think was a viable use of OVA space. I don't feel that I watched an episode without feeling fulfilled to some extent, or feeling that the episode was wasted with filler content or silly content. Yes, there was the birthday party episode, but I liked that, and it really added some depth to the characters to some extent, showing them their personalities when it came to leisure and things besides just exorcism. So overall, I can say when it comes to enjoyment, I do like this anime, and that is boosted by the nice music in the OPs, the soundtrack, as well as the narrative, which is pretty solid. If you are a shonen battle anime fan, you might find this a bit weak because you may have seen better, or you're just tired of the standard narrative. But overall, it is a decent watch if you have a few days. Maybe you have a week or two to yourself. I would definitely recommend putting this on. It won't take you too long. It's 25 episodes of 20 minutes each. So you can watch that in about 2 weeks. It's quite fun to watch. And I think you'll enjoy these characters bloom throughout 25 episodes. I hope you enjoyed this first episode of the GITM podcast. You can follow me outside of the podcast on Twitter at GetInTheMecha for further updates. I will also have audiograms and sneak peeks there as well. Why not consider subscribing on your podcast app for information as to when the new episodes go live? Also consider leaving a review. It helps me a ton as to feedback and how I can improve this for you guys each and every episode. Thank you for listening and goodbye. The sound effects in today's production goes as follows. Sound effects from Subspace Audio. The music in this production goes as follows. Go Lucky by Chasers Gaming. Mandatory Overtime by Joth.